You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
We want to look at Psalm 68:5 today. Happy Father's Day to dads out there. I know not every home has everything they probably ever wanted in when it comes to a family situation, but here's what you're going to hear today. You're going to hear that you have a Heavenly Father who loves you and cares for you deeply and greatly. I hope that you hear that challenge today. Let's look at this verse, Psalm 68:5. God in His holy dwelling is a father of the fatherless and a champion of widows. Let's pray together. Let's begin by telling the Father that we love Him today from our heart to His heart. May He hear from us. And then we move to being grateful and thankful who the Lord is, what He does, what He reveals, how He leads us through. Let the Holy Spirit show you in this moment, in this prayer, what you need to be thankful for. We overflow with thanksgiving. Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God. Let's take a moment and pray for other people who overlap into our life. Their overlap may have been a long time, it may have been a lifetime, or it could be new. Just pray for these people. Some are grieving and hurting. Some are diagnosed with disease and sickness and illness. Some are overcoming injury. Some are carrying just emotional weight and baggage and wounds. Some are needing guidance financially, spiritually. Some are in need of Christian friends to guide them and to tell them truth. Pray for these people. Lift their name up to our Heavenly Father. We pray for the nations, and no matter what size church you are, we're called scripturally and we're called heavenly to the nations. Pray for the nations. Pray for nations you have an affinity to, where you've served, you've traveled, you've done business, you've had vacation, you have other family members living there. Pray for them. Pray for the movements of God among the nations. Pray for the peace of Ukraine and Russia. Pray for the peace of the Middle East. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for those missionaries that are there. Please realize these pastors and churches are still serving the Lord in the midst of all of this chaos, destruction. They're not stopping. They're not just maintaining. They're serving faithfully, righteously in the midst of all that. Pray that God will empower them and resource them. Pray for our nation, that our hearts would turn back to Him again, that the Holy Spirit would move across our nation. Our state, even Kentucky, has been a light for that. Most of the awakenings, not all of them, but most of them have occurred in the state of Kentucky. And just ask the Lord in the Cane Ridge prayer, Lord, do it again. Move again among us. Don't let any pastor or Christian celebrity take credit for it, Lord. It's just the only way we can explain it is that You have done it. Move among us. I ask that You pray a blessing over those around you today, literally standing around you. And pray for your family, a blessing over them wherever they may be. And then we ask the Lord to bless our offerings and our gifts. We do that to advance the kingdom and the gospel. And then realize there's a greater offering here than your financial giving. It's you. He made you. You'll see today in His Word how we are meant to bring glory and honor to Him in our living and in our life. And you say the words of Isaiah, Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me. Lord, help me to be a plain preacher, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher, your preacher today. On me is a greater and more strict judgment than anybody in this room. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. And I failed to do this, and I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway, because if I don't do it now, I may not remember it. But if you were here for Annie's baptism, would you stand so we can recognize you all and give you all honor? Will you do that? If you're here and you represented her, would you stand up so we can see you? Good, and can clap, so thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I think they thought they were volunteering for something and they did maybe want to stand up. So, but I had forgotten to do that, and I know that I usually do. And when you get older, you seem rude because you just interrupt people and say things, but we're not being rude. If we don't say it then, we may not remember it later, you know? So I wanted to remember that. I want you to see today that we do have a Heavenly Father. The home life, the house life, the family structure may not have been everything you wanted it to be. But one thing that God has done is he's given us a Heavenly Father to lead us, to guide us, and to love us. We're going to bring that out today in how important it is to be able to see. Because are we focusing on Jesus? Yes. And the Father wants us to do that. But there's times I think that we don't pay attention to the Heavenly Father that's been given us. I had a great earthly father. I was loved by my earthly father, disciplined by my earthly father. But the picture of it is I have a Heavenly Father that loves me more than my earthly father ever did. And I had an earthly father that did love me. But I have a Heavenly Father that loves me so much more. And I want you going out of here today knowing that Happy Father's Day just may mean that to your Heavenly Father who has done so much for you. And we're going to be able to pull that out of Scripture today. This verse talks about that he is a father to the fatherless and a champion of the widows. You're going to find this not in just one or two places in Scripture. It's a constant theme in Scripture, Old and New Testament. We find it in other writings in the Psalms. We find it in Deuteronomy. We find it in James chapter 1, verse 27, that he cares for the widow and he cares for the orphan. And he intends for the church to do exactly the same thing. Ironically, we serve Sunrise today, the boys' home in Danville. And yes, they're beginning to have and create girls' campuses, though not on the same property. But we serve the boys' home in Somerset one Sunday a month. So it's broken up into three areas, the elementary, the middle school, and the high school, just like the public school system would be. And our hearts are broken because they don't have what we would consider a home base that a lot of us have had. But I have to be thankful because you could quickly say, well, the Lord's not caring for them. The creation of Sunrise is a way for him to care for them. And you and I and the church need to support the creation of these children's homes because the foundation at Sunrise is not just to care for their needs, which they do, but it's to create a Christ-centered foundation for the rest of their life. It's the same thing with Avenues for Women and the baby bottles. They're well-led, they're well-structured, and they're there to help mothers who are having children keep their children. And then to go on and minister to them past birth, not just leave them at birth. And we as a church need to support these it's all Christ-centered, because the Lord even uses this to help them become the father to the fatherless. The group that I help serve at Sunrise, we handle the elementary age. And I've told you before, I've colored more in the past few months than I have my whole childhood, I believe. And it's funny to us that coloring is something they want to do. Plus, it settles down boys. You know, boys can get together and it's like blood to sharks in the water, you know, and the frenzy happens, you know. And we've seen that too. Don't think we haven't. But we've learned that coloring calms down a lot of things. In fact, I may start doing that with adult counseling. They come in and they're all jacked up. I may just have them start drawing something, you know, just to help calm them down. So conversation with one of the little boys, he was like, what do you do? But he asked it in a child kind of way. And I said, well, I'm a preacher. Well, he didn't know what a preacher was. And I thought, that's strange. He said, what do you do? And so I've never been asked that before. And I was like, I didn't know how to answer that. And he goes, I bet you pray. And I said, I do pray. And he asked, do you pray for me? And I said, yes, I do pray for you. And then he said, what do you pray? And I said, I pray that you'll be a strong man of God. It's what I pray for you. So, yes, God has instituted the home. And that is his order. That is his order. That's just not our culture. That's a biblical order. And in that biblical order, it's not always as it should be. Yet God does not abandon us. Even Jesus said, I do not leave you as orphans. I will come for you. So he is a father to the fatherless, and he champions the widow as well. And we as a church need to support that every opportunity that we have. As you know, we support 4 international orphanages, other schools internationally. We're heavily involved in the lives of children, so that they get that understanding that they at least they and mostly they have a heavenly father. So Matthew 6:9, Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. And as he's teaching them to pray, he tells them to pray like this: Our Father in heaven, and hallowed and honored is your name. That we do have a heavenly father. They watched him. They watch Jesus go off and be with his heavenly father on a regular basis. Now they're asking basically, can you teach us to pray? Not how to pray, but just to pray. And he said, pray like this. So we have to ask the question of is it okay to pray to Jesus? Because the instruction is to pray to the Father. Then you have to ask another question. Is it okay to call on the Holy Spirit? And the answer to that is yes. It's what I say about worship. The only wrong worship is no worship. And the only wrong prayer is no prayer. Even Samuel said in the Old Testament, God, will you forgive me for the sin of prayerlessness, that I have ceased to be able to pray? So I want to tune you in and remind you, it's things you already know. Just in today, in the theme of Father's Day, I want to remind you of our Heavenly Father. So we were at Whitney Powers' wedding Thursday. Beautiful wedding, beautiful bride. Adam, her husband, beautiful service. And the family sitting right here. And we were there, and we had assigned seating at the table. Logan Smith, our worship pastor, did the wedding. And I went up to him, and I hugged him from behind. And I said, have you ever done anything perfect? And he didn't know how to answer that. And if he said, yeah, I was going to humble him, you know, real quickly. But I said, you know, Logan, you did perfect. You did so well in leading their wedding and their service. I wanted him to know that. But we were assigned seats, and we were there with a lot of people from our church and friends who are friends of our church. But Bill and Linda Bates was at our table, and they come to the first service and sit in the back. back there in the back corner. They think I can't see them, but they're wrong. So Bill and Linda are dear friends, and we were talking about a veterinarian that is close to our family. His name is Dale Eckert, Dr. Dale Eckert. And if you go into Lexington on Versailles Road and you take a right there on Shannon Run, and his daughter has a pharmacy or a veterinarian practice there. And he is retired as a veterinarian, and he's there 2 or 3 days a week. But we're close friends. Julie and I are close friends of the Eckerts. They go to the Methodist Church in Versailles. And we eat together. Dale and I duck hunt together. We shoot sporting clays together. We're just really good friends. So recently I was taking my dog Solo and our dog to get his shot, to get our shots. And I saw him again, and I always try to have a meeting with him to see him. But I learned this from Dale a long time ago when I was doing the duck hunting retreats in Arkansas. And we get into duck blind, and you can't just start hunting when you want to. It's all by time. Like shooting light is at 6:38 or 6:40, and it changes per day. So you have to keep up with it. So we get into blind. We get all the decoys set. We get the dogs poised. And we're ready to go, but we can't, even if ducks fly in and it's not shooting time, you can't take them because there are game wardens that sit on levees and listen, about if you shoot before shooting time. So I usually have a devotion or a prayer time in all my duck hunts. And I would often call on Dale to pray. We have a devotion, and Dale always started off his prayers with "Good morning, Father." I've never once heard Dale pray any other way. "Good morning, Father." And that's, I chuckle at that in with joy to be able to hear that. So recently I took Solo there. He came in the room. I said, did we get a "Good morning, Father" this morning? And he laughed. He said, "Of course." Just think of the beauty of that. Will you just stop? Because the enemy is going to let you know that you have nobody to love you. And he'll try to prove that. But you have a heavenly Father who knows you by name. He knows the hair on your head. It's counted. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. He knows everything about you. And sometimes we live life like we have nobody to go to. And God has provided us a heavenly Father. And remember, even if you go, "Well, I'm going to pray to Jesus," that's fine. But just remember, Jesus connects you to the Father. That's how the Trinity works. He says that Jesus says in Scripture, he said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." And Jesus connects you to his heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit, we call them spiritual 911s, and I'll talk about one here in a moment. And that is that the Holy Spirit is going to connect you to Christ. He's going to connect you to the Father. It all runs to the Father. You can go to the Holy Spirit, but he'll connect you to the Son, who will run you to the Father. You can go to the Son, but where's the Son going to lead you? Go ahead and say it. To the Father. Where did Jesus go when he needed to focus and stay on mission? He went to the Father. You need to understand that and know that heavily. We run to the Father. I know there can be a bit of a tug of war. Some of you are going, "Well, we need more groups. And I'm going, "No, I need to teach you to go to the Father." Once you learn that, then we can handle groups. You all with me? I don't want you to go to groups and not learn to go to the Father. I want you to learn to go to the Father and then let him reveal and see all the things that you need to do from there. I just believe that's how the whole Christian thing works, and I believe that's how the whole church works. What is the Father revealing to you? Are you going to him with your doubts and your fears and your worries? Do you go to him with your praise? Do you go to him with your thanks? If you'll notice in the prayer, I tell you, tell the Father that you love him today. Because we're to run to the Father over and over and over again. Just Dale Eckert, and tell Dale, that I've used him in these sermons today, and maybe he'll pay for lunch next time we go out with he and Jenny. Julie and I go out with Dale and Jenny. His wife's name's Jenny. But the picture of that is, that's where we run as a pastor, unashamedly. I'm going to lead you individually to learn to run to the Father. You're going to go, man, I go see Pastor Jeff, and all he does is tell me to go to the Father. I mean, do you want me to tell you to dodge him? I mean, that's where we've got to go. You have a heavenly Father. He has not left you alone. And he is there for you. And we've got to remember that if Jesus had to go to the Father to stay on mission, what does that say about the rest of us? In Luke 2:49, it won't come up on the screen, but Jesus has been lost. The parents lost him. And there's a whole another sermon. There's a whole sermon about that we won't include today about how they did that. But they go back and find him, and he's in the temple, and he's talking to the teachers of the law and the scribes, and he's baffling them. And his response to them was, "I am about my Father's business." You're going to find out later on in Scripture that's who we are too. We are about his business. Look at John 5:17 for just a moment. It is that the Father is always at work, but Jesus responded to them, "My Father is still working, and I am working also." I know we'll look at what's going on with Iran. Are we ever going to get a peace treaty there? What's going on with Russia and Ukraine and the Middle East and everything with Gaza and all the eruption? And I just want you to know, this is where I rest. If you want to know about me or ask about me, this is where I rest. I don't think our Heavenly Father is asleep. I don't think that he is not in the know. I rest with that my Father is at work through all of this chaos and confusion and even corruption. That he's at work in that. I grew up with an old hymn as a little boy, and it's called, the phrasing of it, the chorus was, "We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes." And we can get caught up in all the end time stuff all you want. I rest in knowing that my Heavenly Father has the authority on the timelines, which we'll see in a moment, but that my Heavenly Father is at work. I can't explain it. It can be a head scratcher to many of us, but he's always at work. He knows what's going on. Look at John 5:19, just a couple verses down. Jesus replied, "I assure you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. And for whatever the Father does, the Son also does these things in the same way." Jesus just mimicked his Heavenly Father. That's all he did. Later on, you'll get into verses of, "I only speak what I know that the Father is speaking. I only do," in this verse, "what the Father is doing." So I just want you to know that he is overseeing even the mission of Jesus himself, just like he even does us. Look at John 6:44. Our Heavenly Father draws us. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me," being Jesus, he sent Jesus, "draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." It's that, we described it when I was growing up as that tug of the heart. It was that gut reaction that you have up until the last day. I have a sermon on hell that I've preached here several times. I don't know that you'll remember it other than you might have it marked in your own Bible. But it's the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man ends up in hell, and it says, "Son, remember." There's a verse that says, "Son, remember." And I want you to hear me this today. What I'm about to tell you, I believe with all of my heart, but I believe it from the foundation of Scripture. In that account, it says, "Son, remember," that I believe in hell, that you're going to remember every time you had a chance to give your life to Christ and you didn't. I want you to think about that. Herschel Hobbes wrote, the definition of hell is truth that is found out too late. Not only is it a place and a place of torment, but I believe the people there are going to remember that Holy Spirit tug or that Holy Spirit reaction in your gut that the Father had been drawing you and you said no. I just want you to know you don't come on your own. It's the Father who does that. He's drawing you to you. He said even to the Lord that he'll be raised up even in that last day. He draws us. He sees that the Holy Spirit brings that conviction on my life. My wife is here. Julie could tell you. I had to remind somebody the other day. I said, I need to remind you that woman right there used to beg your preacher to come to church. I know you don't know that, Jeff. She does. Past tense. That woman back there used to stand at the door and beg me to go to church, and I snuffed it. I mean, I snuffed it. I hung out with my buddies. I bow hunted. I even said that out there at Billy Joe Clark's field on the Adair Taylor County line, I said, that's my sanctuary out there. You go to church there, I go to church here. I know you don't know that, Jeff, but she knows that, Jeff. I was rebellious. Very rebellious to anything that the Lord had in store for me, but he kept drawing me and drawing me and drawing me and revealing himself to me. It didn't stop. It was everywhere that I went. And I'm grateful that I didn't have a heavenly Father that gave up on me, gave up on you. He doesn't do that. He draws us. He draws us in. Some of you have got excuses. I've used more excuses than you've ever thought of. I didn't want anything to do with it. My life was UPS. My life was UPS stock that split ever so often. My life was everything that I wanted to direct every bit of it. But the Father kept drawing me. Kept drawing me. My dad threw me in a chair, and he could. And he pointed at me one day, and he said, I don't even know who you are anymore. I don't even know my own son. And God, do you hear me today? I pray for words of knowledge. This was not in the first sermon today. I just want you to hear that the Father's drawing you and drawing you and drawing you. And I just want to see people come to know him like I have learned to come to know him in my life. The strongest thing I did was trust him. It's not the weakest thing that I've done. It's the strongest thing I've ever done in my life. So the Father draws. Look at Romans 8, 14 and 17 for just a moment. And in that, we have a Heavenly Father that adopts us. Now, there's a lot of places in Scripture that are definitions of the gospel. This one is the one for me. It is my heart here. All those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. Verse 15, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We were his enemies. I was, and he adopted me to become one of his sons. It's called the spirit of adoption. Verse 17, and if the spirit himself testify together with our spirit that we are his children. Verse 17, and if children, we're also heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. We've been in this verse a lot lately in the last few weeks. I want to remind you that what he gives Jesus, he gives me, he gives you. Listen, I've told you this before. I would be okay if he gave Jesus more than he gave us. I'd even vote for that. But that's not who our Heavenly Father is. He doesn't give Jesus more and give you less. That Jesus, we are joint heirs. We are co-heirs with Christ. And that what he intends to give his son, he intends to give us, give completely to us. Man. I mean, if you're into deals, how do you miss that one? And I'd be just fine getting less. That's not who he is. He says, I'm going to give you exactly what I am going to give my son. Is that not a great heavenly father there? I mean, how do you turn that down? I don't understand. I don't understand how even in my own life I was there, other than I wanted to direct my own life. Look at Mark 11:25. He is a father that forgives us. And whatever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you for wrongdoing. The Father intends for you to mimic him. Listen, I take some internal satisfaction. Our son is in his 40s, and I love it when I hear him say stuff I used to say to him. You know, because we parents, we just want to know our kids got it, you know? And I love it. I love it when Andrew is his comments that I even hear him talking to his kids now and his family. And as a dad, you want your children to emulate you in some ways. Here, the Father wants us to emulate him, to mimic him, to be like him. In the way that he forgives, he expects us to be able to forgive in just the same fashion. It doesn't mean that your forgiveness is going to turn anything around in another person. It just means you're doing what he's asked you to do. Even he forgives a lot of people, but it doesn't mean they turn around and they surrender. But he does forgive. We have a heavenly Father who forgives us. Do you remember what Jesus said on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do. Look at Luke 11:13. Not only does he give us forgiveness, he gives us the Holy Spirit. Even he sends the Holy Spirit. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, even though I may call on the Holy Spirit, it's still the Father who sends him and activates him in our life. Just look at all that we've mentioned so far of all that the Holy Spirit does. Look at 1 Peter 1:3. This is about our living hope in Christ, a song we so often sing and should. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. Remember, mercy is everything we deserve, and punishment he's holding back. He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are born again. Do you know, when I looked at Andrew and Laura when they were born, it was nothing but innocence and purity. I wasn't around when Gwen, our granddaughter, and Charlotte were born. But we were around when John was born, our grandson, and we looked upon him. And, you know, I'm looking at him going, you're going to be the greatest turkey caller that's ever lived. I looked upon him as nothing but purity and innocence. I want you to listen to this. When the Father draws you, and through the sacrifice of Christ, you confess your sins and he forgives you, you're born again. And he looks upon you. I don't care if you're 40 years old. I don't care if you're 70 years old. He looks upon you as if you were just born. He looks upon you like you were a brand new creation, like a newborn baby. He looks upon you in the way that you and I look upon our children or even our grandchildren. He looks upon you as innocence and purity because you're born again. You could be an old person, but he sees you in being born again in such a way. I mean, just think of our Heavenly Father, of how he does that for us. That you want a brand new beginning? I mean, Nicodemus says, how am I going to do that? How am I going to crawl back into the womb of my mom and do that? And he goes, you become born of spirit. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, you and I will walk around and go, well, God's never done anything for me. Are you joking me? Are you kidding me? I could describe tons more than what I'm describing about our Heavenly Father. And we're born again into a living hope because Christ has been raised from the dead and our Christ is alive, our hope is alive. Matthew 5:16 says that we live to bring glory to him. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Somebody might say something good about you or give you an accolade or an attaboy or props or whatever, but what you do is you pass that on to the glory of the Lord. Look in Matthew 7:21. We are about his Father's will. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Scary verse. Matthew 7 can be a scary chapter. But only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Do you have that in you? Do you have that in you, a desire to please your Heavenly Father, to live in such a way for your Heavenly Father? Recently, I was on a phone call, not with anybody in our church, but things about our church. And the phone call was not going well. And my wife, Julie, has heard me. I can be very challenging on a phone call if I want to be. And it wasn't going well. And finally, I just heard the Father. I felt we need to end this conversation. And I told the other person on the phone, I said, listen, this is not going well. It's going to get worse if we continue. Is it okay with you that we just end this phone call right now? And we did. Because I knew it was not going to get pretty if we went on. I think sometimes the will of the Father is just for me and you to shut up. You hear me? Quit elbowing people out there. I see you doing that. You're elbowing the ones you're sitting by. Sometimes it's because we'll fight about, well, I'm right, well, I'm right, well, I'm right. You know, it's ping pong. It's back and forth, you know, and I'm going to be, sometimes it's just best to show grace and mercy and hush your mouth and go on. And in that conversation, the Father's will was for me to be quiet, was to hush. Because I represent you. I not only represent the Lord, I represent my wife, and I represent this church. And it was going to get red, do you understand? And I was like, I just need to hush and go on. And do I want you to know, and Amy knows this to be true back there, that it all worked out more favorably by me hushing and being quiet? It all worked out, you know, just by leaving it alone. And that conversation, if it went any further, wasn't going to be pretty. You're going to go, does the Father have a will for me in my conversations? Of course. You know, what does James write? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, right? James 1:19, write that on your mirror. It'll bless your life and somebody else's if you do that. All right, and again, you're elbowing people. I can see you doing that. Acts 1:7, again, I rest here as I did earlier with a verse that this is ascension. He's been resurrected 40 days. He's on the Mount of Olives. He's going to be ascended into heaven. And the disciples are like, are you going to restore Israel? And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. When it comes to end times, I know he's coming back. Nobody believes that more strongly than I do. You're going to ask me when, what's going on over there now. I know what's going on, but that group's been fighting forever over there. I'm just going to tell you, am I ready to go? I'm ready to go. If the bus comes early, I'm going to be on it, you know. I don't know that anybody's hopping, skipping, and jumping wanting to go through the Great Tribulation. But the point of it is, the Father has the authority of that timeline. I want you to see that there. It is not for you to know times or seasons or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, that he puts together that timeline, and I just rest there. I rest there. I want you to rest there. I don't want you to get all jacked up and your anxiety to be moved up. I just want you to be able to rest there. Look at Hebrews 11:6. It says, now without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not the display of your spiritual resume, it's your faith. Do I trust him? That's a song we're going to sing here in a moment. Do I trust him? Even when I can't see. Julie and I are doing that in our lives. We've told you to do it. We're doing exactly the same thing. When I can't see his hand, I trust his heart. My trust is there. I trust. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists. And then look at the end. He rewards those. He rewards those who diligently seek him. I mean, have you found anything negative about our Heavenly Father in any of this? And there's more that I'm not giving you. anything. Just I want you to start calling on him. I want you to start going to him first. When you doubt and you have worries and fears, go to him. When you have praise in your heart, go to him. When you have thanks in your heart, go to him. Do the Dale Eckerd prayer. Good morning, Father. And I know how he means that. I know how he means that. That he sees his heavenly Father guarding his life. And you have a heavenly Father that loves you and guides you. And look at all that he's done for us. Amen, church. Do you receive that today? I pray that you receive that today. What a great heavenly Father we have. And during our invitation becomes a time for you to respond. There'll be people here to pray with you, for you, or over you. There'll be just to minister and bless you. Also, it's a day of surrender to you. You come and surrender your life to the Lord today. You may want to do that. There may just be business that you and the Lord need to take care of. And you're going, you know, preacher, I can do that at my seat. You know what? You're right. You can. But sometimes the Holy Spirit calls us to move and the Father draws us to move publicly. Because our life's not private, it's public. And you may need to do that today. As the team leads us and we sing about trusting in him, let that be your prayer today. Let that be your prayer. I've learned to trust him, and I do. And he's amazing at what he does. And just rest knowing that he's at work for you. He's for you. Know that. Settle that. Maybe the invitation prayer is nothing for you, that I just, Father, I trust you and I love you and I thank you. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, would you find your place here in the altar? Logan and the team, they're going to lead us, and you respond. Maybe this song is your prayer as well.